Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up the fat men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell.
Really?
Yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
What's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard? You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes her look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another big show on tap for everybody listening because it's OTA day. The last day of
week.
OTAs, right?
Well, no, for this week.
For this week, right, yeah. Right.
And it's been the whole week. But yes, it's the day after we had access to an OTA session.
So Paul's here, Andy's here, Doc's in the booth.
People won't like this show.
Who is Eric?
Eric's going to try to get Bill Belichick up at the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, where Mr. Kraft will be handing out the community MVP awards.
Oh, community MVP awards are happening as we speak.
Eric's actually renewing his feud with Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Dating back to the draft and the bitch slapping.
You know, so we hope to have Eric come down and maybe give us a little bit of an idea of what Belichick was asked about today.
I think Eric's going to ask, Bill, how long have you made $7.5 million per season?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be the first right. question.
What do you want me to tell you?
Your salary.
I also enjoyed the...
Unexcused.
Was it Jonathan Kraft was on yesterday, right? On local radio?
Yes, he was.
On the Sports Hub?
Sorry.
And he was asked about specifically about that, Belichick's contract, and he had a very detailed paragraph that strongly neither confirmed nor denied whether or not he makes $7.5 million.
Yeah, I think the
bottom line is only a very small, small, small amount of people know the salary.
Not really.
That's all he said.
Which I believe, you know, everybody assumes that all along only Mr. Kraft and Bill knew the salary. Like that was it, a two-person. But it's Forbes. So I have to believe that Forbes, the dominant magazine of money,
right,
has sources, right?
I would think
and
so.
Doesn't Bill Belichick, like the rest of the world, have to file taxes?
Yes.
And list salaries and incomes and stuff?
But I think unless you're a public company, that's not public information.
I didn't say public information.
Yeah.
But people see it. There are people that work for the
IRS
who could talk to Forbes, right?
Right.
And I mean, Forbes is doing enough money stuff where they cross paths with these people, and it's not one. I mean, it's like an agent. You need one agent to have access to the system that shows you all the contracts.
Right.
You need one IRS agent who's willing to log in under his password and search Bill Belichick.
I also think it's naive to think that literally, forgetting the tax aspect, that literally only a Kraft or Belichick knows what Belichick
possible.
Is making.
Doesn't somebody print the checks? Doesn't somebody mail the checks? Doesn't somebody, you
I'm
know,
talking about,
he has an accountant?
Yeah. I mean,
it grows
logic.
Exponentially.
You're talking logic. And
that's what
and,
I try to do here, Paul.
No,
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is you're breaking down the individual people that would have access to it. I'm saying there are people that Belichick knows that know how much he makes. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not going to rattle off names. I have ideas in my head. But
give me one name. Give me one name.
No. There are people in Belichick's circle that know how much Bill Belichick makes.
Right.
Okay. Does your wife know how much you make, Fred?
No.
No?
No.
You hide that from her.
Bill doesn't have a wife.
Okay. I didn't name any names. Told you that.
But no.
But I'll bet you his ex-wife knows how much money he makes.
Made.
Just as an example.
That gets back to, I wonder how long he's been making seven. I generally assume since he peaked theoretically as a coach when he won back-to-back Super Bowls, is it safe to assume he's been atop the world of football for 4 years?
I would hope
something?
So. He deserves it.
Because, I mean, right now he trails only Phil Jackson and Shanahan, who just got the deal, is in the ballpark, and Carroll, who just got the deal, is in the ballpark. Yeah. So theoretically, he was making well more than every other NFL coach for some period of time.
Deservedly so.
Well, I mean, he is the only coach on the staff, or at least the only one giving a title.
Oh boy, here we go. But
I would agree with you.
No, I think
if not him, then who?
There's numerous ways that this could have leaked
much
out.
Like
however,
Law,
under
like
your scenario, Andy, if someone from the IRS ever did get caught leaking that info, they're going right to jail.
No, I know
that is.
But
like,
that happens in all areas of news.
No, I know.
If anyone from the FBI has ever found that they leaked this, that, and that, they're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
So, but those people exist. People want to tell. That's how our business kind of works. People want to tell what they know.
Yeah. Just look at Facebook.
I don't ever go to Facebook. Paul does. He's a loser.
I do research.
No, it was interesting.
Best way to hire interns.
Earlier today, we had a little problem on the internets. Apparently,
I didn't know there were more than one.
Apparently, PFW
competitor.com
went down and with it.
Ferreira sucks.
It took
Mary
the blog. Someone just missed a renewal on the domain. It's as simple as that. And
let's make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Ferreira sucks.
I was a little disappointed because it popped up to one of those generic, stupid companies, domain, whatever, buy a domain here. I'm thinking if we're actually going to like have a problem or get hacked into, I want like porn to pop up. I want boobs to hit me when I go to the blog.
Good. Anyway, that's been cleared up, I guess, as of about an hour ago. So if you
I checked the it's
want to check out the blog, Andy's or Paul's blog, definitely you can do so.
What about Eric?
Oh, is he blogging?
No. Of course, nor does Paul.
What are you talking about? I blogged yesterday.
I don't know. One of the comments I read, Paul, good job. 6 months between blog entries.
See,
new record.
Actually, if you actually read the blog, then you would know that Todd writes that every time I post something on the blog. It's a running joke between he and
I. Oh, it's like the running joke that you're roly-poly Paul Perillo.
But that's not a joke. That's true. I'm fat.
You don't actually roll, though.
No.
You limp.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
So we're going to talk football?
We're going to talk football. You guys were out at the practices yesterday. Anything?
Yes.
What do you got?
Well, not a lot because it was shorts and T-shirts and no helmets. But it wasn't a walkthrough. I want to emphasize that. I saw a report a lot of places that it was a walkthrough. There were plenty of drills that were pretty close or as close as you can get to full speed without having pads and helmets on.
Right.
There were some portions that were walkthrough, but it was not a walkthrough. It was a practice without helmet and pads.
Right.
People think it was a walkthrough for some reason because they didn't have their practice jerseys on.
Right.
And
but
they
there
just
was tempo.
But there was a definite higher tempo to it. Now there's
We've seen walkthroughs, and believe me,
they bore you to death.
They never ever run.
Right.
They don't run even a little.
Right.
That's why you can do walkthroughs in the field house at Gillette Stadium. I mean, the clubhouse at Gillette Stadium, or a library,
or a hotel,
or a hotel lobby, or wherever.
Right.
This was not a walkthrough.
Right.
The second thing. 55-ish players, we've decided, were on the field. First-year Patriots include some of the veterans, all the rookies, draft picks, all that, to get that kind of out of the way. But to get to an observation, and I don't know if Paul took part in this, I poo-pooed Aaron Hernandez a little bit on rookie camp. I didn't think he did anything that made me go, oh, there's Aaron Hernandez. He stood out. I thought he stood out. He caught a couple balls, turned upfield. I thought he looked kind of explosive. Looked more athletic, and I was watching a lot of the tight ends because they were all three of your theoretically starting tight ends were out there, and they were doing a lot of stuff, split wide, in tight, you know, two of them on the same side in a five wide set, all kinds of dramatic stuff, and I thought Hernandez looked really, really good.
I know this is kind of, it's very premature and a little bit silly, but if you had to just take how Dallas Clark looks on the field, athletically, and how Aaron Hernandez looked yesterday, who would you say is the better athlete?
Aaron Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez.
I think Dallas Clark is not athletic.
I agree.
Okay.
And what
I think he's awkward at times.
What little athleticism I think Dallas Clark came out of Iowa with, he lost.
The Patriots broke.
He lost when he badly broke his leg as a rookie. Now, I don't think he's slow. He's fast for a tight end. But I don't think he's as athletic as Aaron Hernandez.
Okay.
I thought he looked good. I did. I thought it was interesting some of the names that, like Jonathan Wilhite, who kind of was ascending to a starter heading into last year, started, then struggled a bit, was out there. Brandon McGowan, who was a starter, what, three quarters of the season about?
Yeah.
Was out there. You know, there was Jay Sanders
Andy
out
Andy was
there?
Very happy.
Jimmy was not because, Jimmy you was, know, ooh, I mean,
ooh,
when
not
you keep
a team leader.
He was very happy.
No, he was
a
team
a
leader.
Sign.
Tom Brady wasn't out
that's
there. Is he not a team leader?
For James for Andy Hart's purposes, so the fact that James Sanders was not out there was
confident
a good sign.
Enough to know that he doesn't have to be there?
No.
No.
You don't show up if you want to. You're asked to show up or not show up.
We had this conversation on the way down there. Like, you know, there was a headline and one of the reports was Brady, Moss.
Still no shows or something. No, that's not true.
They weren't no shows. They, you know, they weren't asked to be there. They
for
were,
all
in
we
fact,
know.
They were told more likely than not. Not to be there.
Really?
These are developing players that are out there. This is not
the starters weren't there.
Creme de la creme. Torrey Holt wasn't there?
Torrey Holt.
How many games has he played for the Patriots?
System.
How many practices has
you
he played for
the
Patriots? He
was a developing player.
And with the Patriots, he is. Oh, okay. Just like Joey Galloway at this point last year was a developing player and never developed.
There was a handful of veteran players who are new to the
I think
Patriots.
He's trying to just fight
Damian
ball.
Lewis, Gerard Warren, Torrey Holt, so Algie Crumpler. There were a handful of
so
those
McGowan,
guys, but starting players for the that returned
to
the Patriots. Telly Bantakane not here yesterday. Yeah.
So if you wanted to be there and you were
Sebastian
Tom Brady,
Vollmer,
they were telling you no, you can't.
Yeah,
be there.
Because
Sebastian
I believe
Vollmer,
they want to get
not
reps
there yesterday.
They want to see Brian Hoyer get reps so he's ready to compete with Brady at a high
okay.
level.
Okay, all right.
That's why early in the week, Nesson had a report on the first day of the OTAs where no one was allowed there, they had a source telling them different things.
I wondered about that.
I have no idea. But it said that Gerard Mayo was there despite being told he didn't have to come or whatever. To me, that's not good leadership. That's not, you know, being the hardest worker. That's going against a coach because you're now taking away reps from Brandon Spikes that they want him to get. He needs to be in front of the huddle and call the defense, even if it's with a bunch of Jags he won't play with. He needs to get that experience, and Mayo, if he's out there, is taking away from that.
Yeah. Now, in Mayo's defense, Andy and I made this observation. He came out, yes, he was in the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse and came out, watched the practices from, watched the drills from in between the two practice fields.
Yeah.
If that's what he did earlier in the week.
That's fine.
Then that's different.
Right.
He was just here, and
yeah,
he wasn't stepping on anybody's toes.
That story was a little puzzling. And I talked to some people, and their theory is, it wasn't actually a source. I think they think somebody just stood up at some place at Patriot Place and looked down on the field.
Really?
And it was just observations.
Interesting.
You know,
well, why?
From reading what the person wrote.
Well, where is he getting the stuff about Mayo was told not to be there?
Oh, that I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting.
But that is an interesting take.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. I have asked a couple of people what they thought, where that may have come from, and that's
I mean, the
that's
guy that wrote
is
Jeff Howe, right? A guy named
he's
Jeff Howe.
He's here all the time. I mean, I mean, I just don't know.
But, I mean, who's giving him info?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
who
there's
knows.
All kinds of ways to
I'll
get sources.
I'll give you my best way for someone like that, you know, a relative unknown. And Jeff Howe, by the way, is not. He does a good job. He's a young guy. He's doing it. I think he works hard. I don't want to. This is not disparaging
Jeff
Howe.
No, but, I mean, if you're going to leak stuff out, you leak it to the Globe or you leak it to ESPN. Or you
but
leak you're, it
but
to, you
depends
know.
Who's but doing you're assuming that Bill Belichick or someone that he's
a player.
You
don't think Nesson
do
has relationships with players?
Right.
Guys appear on their shows all the time.
Yeah, well,
that's
wrong
how
about
relationships
that.
Start.
It's all about the Benjamins, man.
Guys that are paid $1,000
have relationships with Red Sox players.
Absolutely.
And Red Sox are different. That's their station.
But they pay the players to come on the station.
What does that mean?
Do they?
Absolutely.
Are you talking about
absolutely.
Sexual in nature?
Who's you think they do that every week for nothing?
Well, no, but who's on Nesson?
Kevin Falk.
Kevin Falk's on Nesson or Necken?
Nesson.
We're on Necken, where we used to be.
I mean, Comcast.
He's on Nesson.
Who is?
Kevin Falk. Third down back.
It's going to be one of those days. He's in a mood, I can tell.
He is. He's playing the role of Paul very well today. I don't care. Black, white. I don't care. No, you're wrong. I'll give you just total. I have no idea. I don't know where Jeff Howe went to school. But let's just say, for argument's sake, he went to Brown.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows Buddy Farnham.
Could be.
You know, it could be someone like that, something like that.
Does he know Eric then?
No, because Eric
with all that dream was to attend
dreamt
Brown.
Of going to Brown and couldn't get in.
Speaking of,
but it could be anywhere. I don't have no idea about Jeff's background or where he went to school, but it could be something as simple as that. He's a young guy. He's probably only out of college a couple of years. Maybe he went to school where one of these undrafted free agents that no one ever heard of also attended.
That's true.
And maybe
that's
his in.
Yep. But, you know, with as much as they stress to these rookies, do not say anything out of school. It would be surprising if Buddy Farnham was the guy.
True. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I'm just giving you a couple of outside-the-box ways that someone could find something out that you wouldn't necessarily think would have any sources.
Okay, seeing as I like to always be objective and balanced since I started with praise for the tight ends.
I've often said that.
I need to bring about some of my negative observations.
Okay.
About a couple draft picks from a year ago that many people have high hopes for, I think, by the name of Ron Brace and Brandon Tate.
Yeah.
Andy not feeling so good
really?
About either of them.
No.
Brace, more so, as I've called it, seemingly an organizational distaste for him. You just hear too many people who rip the way he played last year, including you. And when you say stuff, usually you hear it and whisper it on. But he got pushed around terribly as a rookie and then talked yesterday about first thing he did was get away from Foxborough. He had to get away. And then it just rubbed me the wrong way. Everything he said, and same thing with Brandon Tate. I know everybody thinks he's the
high
next
hopes.
Guy.
High hopes.
And he didn't sound all that confident in the playbook when I asked him about it and just kept saying, I'm out here to come. Both those guys, I'm really just observation, not sold on.
Well, with Tate, I mean, it could be just playing the humble thing because we talked about that yesterday. With Brace, his is more, I mean, you just saw guys get underneath him, get the leverage, stand him up, and he never was able to do
it. And that's what really, I talked to Brace for a while yesterday, and I was asking him a bunch of questions about, the physical and the mental. He was talking a lot about mental and how, in the systems that he played in college, and all he ever had to worry about was his controlling his gap. You know, he knew where he had to be. Now he's saying, I have to know where my opponent is, what he's doing, what my teammates are doing, and doing all this other stuff. He made it out to be it was totally a mental thing. He needed to understand more about the concepts of the defense and to learn his playbook and do that. What I saw was a guy physically get pushed around.
Yeah.
Now, you can make an argument that
and
if
when
a
Paul
guy
was done pussyfooting through his questions,
much,
I came in and
not,
asked him.
You can make an argument that if you're not up to snuff mentally, it makes your job physically harder. And I understand that. But to me, for him to ignore the fact I think it was a technique thing. I think it was a scheme thing. I think physically he needs to change the way he played. And I don't think he talked a lot in those terms. I don't know. I'm a little I really like the guy. I think he seems like he gets it. He seems like a bright guy.
I think he's going to get cut.
But I'm not sure that, and I'll tell you, if Damian Lewis and Gerard Warren both stick, they both have a future on, in 2010, I don't know where you find a spot for Ron Brace.
No. Because you've got Mike Wright in there.
You have Mike Wright, Myron Pryor, obviously
Ty
Vince
Warren
and Ty.
Network, yeah. How many linemen you had to keep?
You have a couple of young guys from last year, too, that stuck
could
around.
Could easily pass him.
Adaro Richard, some young guys that you just drafted this year. If those guys show any promise, it's roster spots at some positions like that, I think, are going to be really, really hotly contested.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Oh, I knew I had one more thing about Brace. I knew I
what's that?
He had mentioned that it was a shock to him when he didn't get a lot of playing time also, which I thought was kind of a weird comment.
Yeah.
And he said,
title.
He said, Belichick has been around this league for a long time. Coach Belichick has been around this league for a long time, and he has his reasons.
Ask Bill.
I mean, and it wasn't disrespectful, and I don't want to mischaracterize it. It wasn't like that at all.
He's insinuating that there's another reason other than.
But
Myron,
did we not see
Myron Pryor just beat him out?
Yeah.
Right.
And did we not see the reason why he didn't get a lot of playing time when he actually did get playing time?
Right.
You know, he was inactive for most of the first 12 weeks.
We saw the reason he didn't get playing time when he got playing time.
That's what I'm saying.
He got his ass kicked.
That's what I just said. Did we not see the reason why? Yet he seemed to make it sound like, well, that's coach's decision. He went with that. I thought I should have been playing. I think we saw why he wasn't playing. I think Belichick's decision not to play him a lot was validated by the way we saw him get pushed around in December.
I also just think the whole mental need to know my role and all this crap. If he had known one role and just dominated as a backup nose tackle, he would have played. Because they had enough struggles. They had to move Vince to the outside, do all these things. If he could just do one thing and, you know, the old do it well enough, if he could have controlled the center and just been a true nose tackle, he would have played. I don't care about the versatility and all that other crap.
Yep.
So I think he's putting more emphasis on the mental and the role and everything. I think it was physical. I think he wasn't ready to compete at an NFL level. Certainly not an NFL level that you would think a second-round pick would be ready to compete
at. Or worse, it could have been both.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm going. I think it is both, and that's why I think he has a great chance of you just got to cut bait. You know, Kevin O'Connell, cut bait.
I do think it's both. I think there's a physical element to it, and I also think there's a mental element to it.
He was riding B.J. Rogers' coattails.
Which I'm bummed out about because, like I said, I think that he certainly looks the part, and he's a big, strong guy.
It's a good story, local kid.
And I think he comes across as a level-headed patriot type, you know, for lack of a better description. I think he seems to understand and get things, but
he sounds like he does.
Yeah, I'm not sure he does. I'm not sure he understands the football part
Sometimes
of it.
Sometimes the difference between saying it
I'm
and doing it.
I'm talking about off the field. He seems
like
a good guy.
Like when Sean Springs said, character is the best thing about me.
Sure it is.
Usually when character is the best thing about somebody, you don't have to tell people that character is the best thing about you.
Like Rodney Harrison never told you what a great character guy he was. But he was.
In fact, he did things to try to show you he wasn't, but he really was.
Let's see. I'm asked by the folks at Kraft Sports Production to tell our listening audience that on Sunday, June 6th, at the Plaza at Patriot Place, Total Patriots will have a talent search. 8 winners between the ages
of...
Does
that mean Andy and I should show up?
Well, if you're between 16 and 21, you should.
Oh, Justin, can't make it.
You can't make it, but if you are between 16 and 21... people will be selected to get a chance to host 2 episodes each of Totally Patriots, which airs during the football season on WBZ TV Channel 4. You can pre-register on totallypatriots.com or just show up on the day and register then. But there's less waiting, of course, if you do it now. Then you don't have to stand in line. So, again, that's Sunday, June 6th at the Plaza at Patriot Place. It doesn't have a time here.
It's amazing how natural you make these sound.
Doesn't have
can
a time.
Can barely tell you're reading it.
At the Plaza.
Doesn't have a
Patriot
time
Place.
Here, actually. That's kind of
say,
a problem, no?
Say time here.
You're telling people when to show up.
We'll get the time. We'll get the time.
You'll get the time?
I'll call Matt.
We'll call Matt. Okay.
they can hear him.
So if you know somebody between 16 and 21, they want to be on TV, come to Patriot Place on Sunday, June 6th.
Sunday, June 6th. Okay, good.
All right.
Got that out of the way. Well done, Fred.
So
you sold it.
Just wanted to let people know about that. Hey, there's a lot of kids out there that think they've got what it takes.
There are a lot of these opportunities now.
Yeah.
I've noticed. Like the Comcast Celtics has something. You send in a script. You read it. You get a chance to be
I
like
wish they had some of that stuff around when I was 16.
They did. They had community auditions.
100 years ago.
Why? What would you have tried out for?
No, I would have probably tried to do like
the some telegraph,
that sideline, like the sideline reporter for a day thing. You don't think that would be cool for like a high school kid?
Sure.
That's looking to get into communications.
Sure, but back then you weren't thinking about. Well, you were thinking you were an ink stained wretch.
No. Communications.
You wanted TV, radio?
I was on Kids Talk Sports back in the day. Remember that show?
But back in the day, for you, it was 20 years after I graduated from college.
Kids Talk Sports. Where was that on?
New England Cable News.
Huh, I think I do remember that.
What's ringing?
Yeah, I hear a ringing.
The phone's ringing.
Answer it.
The lines are
open.
I'm trying
to
consult. I'm trying to converse with you people. All right,
if that's the food, make sure you...
Last time you conversed with us, it broke into the worst show in the history of this show. So keep your mouth shut.
What happened to Doc?
I don't know.
He's on the phone.
No more OTA observations?
You told me to answer the phone.
OTA observations?
What do you got?
I don't really.
You
have
like
a whole
Zach
lot.
Robinson? You get a little thing for him.
Oh, for God's sakes! I made a comment. This is what you know. What happens, Fred, when you can't like, you know, say anything, because
right.
the only one allowed to make anything, you know, concrete,
right.
is Andy.
Yeah.
You know, based on some silly, quick observation. I happen to mention I thought that Zach Robinson was bigger than the average quarterback.
Bigger than your average quarterback.
A little thicker, not taller, just you know, thicker. Yeah.
Paul likes him thick.
It's okay that Andy, you know.
G-force.
Can't go 3 steps without telling you exactly what Rob Gronkowski's doing at that very moment.
Right.
Freddie, did you know one of the media guides from like 5 years ago, the back ad for Gillette was G-Force, experience it. Not on there, though?
It was like one of those. Only it said G-Force.
All right, good.
Next year they can do that with
They must have known we were going to draft Gronkowski.
Were you surprised at the number of media there yesterday, over 40?
No.
Yeah, I was a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a lot.
But they have to.
But with
there's all these networks and websites covering everything.
Plus,
I mean,
with the Red Sox and the Celtics on the road, too.
Right.
That was...
No,
that,
but
that lent itself for more people.
If you're going to do, if you're Nesson and you're Comcast Sports and you're going to do nightly, morning, every half-hour shows, you can't ignore anything that involves the major teams, can you? And just
yeah, I think if the Red Sox, and Celtics, I think if the Red Sox and Celtics were both home yesterday, there wouldn't have been as many people here. Because I think they knew that Brady wouldn't have been here.
Right.
Now, but to me, they're
Brady's
doing a disservice.
Here,
if there is open media session and you're kind of presenting yourself as your local fix of sports for that day, you need to be there. You should. You have to have a staffer. If you have a website with a Patriots reporter, he has to be there. Tom Curran, Chris Price, all those guys have to be there.
Oh,
and
no,
I think the video guys
have
to be
there. Those guys would be here.
Like, I don't know how Comcast Sportsnet can do a Sportsnet Central and Mohegan Sports Tonight and not have a camera.
I don't know who all the names of the people are, but there were a lot of TV guys here yesterday that did they did a package off of that practice that I think if the Celtics and Red Sox were in town, I don't think they would have been here. Channel 10 in Providence. I'm not talking about Tom Curran. Patriots are his beat. He would be
right.
Here. Chris Price.
But
Patriots
I'm saying
are his beat.
Those places they work for that have the video have to also be here. Because otherwise, first of all, I don't watch those shows, so maybe I'm a bad. But if those shows exist, I expect everything to
but
be
what
covered
show?
By.
Like Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight is not
Comcast Sportsnet Tonight or whatever it's called.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
Their stupid little sports center show
thing.
Is.
Okay.
And Nesson Sports
Sportsnet
Desk.
Central?
That. If they're going to do shows, then I expect you to have everything in New England sports from that day.
No.
Otherwise, why would I go to you? I'll just go to Sports Center and get a good show because your show's not as good.
Well, Sports Center
it's supposed to be local.
Wouldn't have that.
No, I. By the
I'm
way,
just saying, it's
that's
kind
my
of an
point.
Irrelevant
if
thing.
You're going to skip it and you're the local version, then I'll go to the good one and not go to the local version. Because SportsCenter, in terms of production, is way better than these shows on the local level. But they have the local news. If they choose to skip the local news, then why do I go to you?
True. By the way, the talent search on June 6th for those between 16 and 21 starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So. On the plaza at Patriot Place.
That's right. So 9 o'clock, be there.
This is open to boys and girls, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like girls get all these sports TV hosting jobs these days. Certainly at those places we were just talking about, Nesson and Comcast.
Well, there's a reason for that.
There's two reasons.
Well, I'll tell you, the other day, Chris Ferreira loaded up a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes photos of the cheerleader swimsuit shoot.
I like your
and,
moves.
And we tweeted it out, and you know, lo and behold, that day the top page on Patriots.com was the cheerleaders.
I'm not sure lo and behold is the right word there. Obviously it would be the right word based on some of the photos you showed me.
So,
good stuff, Paul.
Yeah.
Soft.
I don't know. A lot of hot girls were digging on me last night.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Brad in Maryland. Brad, how you doing?
Hey, doing all right, guys.
Up,
sorry,
Brad?
I didn't get to on Tuesday. I was on the road.
No problem.
Brad, are you going to the NCAA lacrosse finals?
No, unfortunately not.
You should be. The Jumbos are in the final for Division III. Tufts, baby. Woo!
Are they really?
Boss.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
They're practicing on Gillette Stadium today.
Wow.
It was, I think the Eastern Shore, Salisbury, University of Maryland Eastern Shore was in it too, weren't they?
I don't know.
They were in the quarterfinals. I knew that. Anyway, no, I missed, man, I really wish I'd listened to the podcast Wednesday, and I really kicked myself because I would have loved to have gotten in on the indoors versus outdoor stadium in the wintertime and Super Bowl and all that. You guys, actually, that was a pretty decent discussion you guys had.
That's well, because Andy wasn't here to make fun of us.
And since that time, they officially awarded the Super Bowl
to New York.
In 2014, yep.
Yeah. I have to say I am for it. Having grown up in Maine and played football in everything from 70-degree weather to 10-degree weather, you know, it's just it is what it is, as Bill is famous for saying. And I think it's unfair, and I understand the arguments that were made on the side of have it be in warm or indoor weather so that it's there, you know, everything's neutral. But if you are playing, and we'll use Buffalo because you guys were so picking on Buffalo, Buffalo has to have a team that can play in lousy weather. If you don't have a team that can play in lousy weather, you're never going to be a winning team in Buffalo. You look at Jim Kelly and his era. He was dominant because he had a rifle for an arm, and Thurman Thomas could run in the junk. But when they got to the Super Bowl and it was in perfect conditions, they weren't the speed demon team, and they'd get beat. I think if it's going to be, to me personally, I think it should be on a 32-team rotation, and every year it's in a different stadium so that every part of the country can say we're getting the Super Bowl. And you know what? If it's 10 degrees, it's 10 degrees, and if it's in a dome, it's in a dome. That's just your luck.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys argue, but my argument would be I'm all for putting the game of the Super Bowl anywhere you want it. The problem for me would be the week. It's an event.
And somebody else
I think the actual game, right. That's cool that it could snow. Right. Both teams play in the same field. I don't necessarily want some, you know, antiseptic turf, perfect field. But it's not just the game. It's the whole week.
And somebody else made a good point to me. You know, with the security the way it has been since 9/11, if you're a fan for a Super Bowl, you have to get there even earlier than a normal game. You're there like 2 hours before the game. So if it's 20 degrees, you're in your seat for 6 hours.
Or if you're Andy, you're in your seat for 6 hours. Right. Because Andy in the auxiliary press, which is known as the farthest section from the field outside,
and Fred likes
I'd
to get
be freezing
five,
my ass
6 hours
off
before the game.
While these two fat boys follow the little line that takes them to the heated press box.
Well, I'm blogging.
Well, anyway, those are my thoughts on that. But football news. Glad to hear the update on OTAs. Would have liked to hear a little more about the OTAs.
What do you want? Ask me a question and I'll answer it. Go.
Okay. Absolutely.
Linebackers, for crying out loud, everything you guys have talked about for the last 2 months has been linebacker-oriented, and you didn't say a blooming word about the
Jermaine
linebacker.
Cunningham got a lot of reps at right outside linebacker. Brandon Spikes was running the huddle at inside linebacker. Rob
was McKenzie there?
McKenzie was there. I didn't see much of what he did. They really screwed us there. Not only did he not wear a jersey, he wore shorts without a number and was two fields away. He was tough to pick up on. But he was indeed out there. Rob Ninkovich was out there taking part as one of those still-has-to-prove-it kind of players.
So now, wait a minute. You said Cunningham was on the right outside linebacker?
Right outside linebacker. Defensive right.
And the clips that I saw from Florida, that's where he lined up a lot, too.
I don't know. Maybe Tully Vance-Cain is a situational outside linebacker. Maybe they think if Crable, you know, I'll go with Paul's guy, Crable, if he's not hurt and he's ready, maybe Crable and Cunningham are your legitimate outside linebackers, and Vance-Cain goes to a situational role.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see those guys. Jermaine Cunningham, I would be very surprised to see him starting.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'd be stunned.
I think when you have so many Jags competing, somebody's going to start.
I was thinking he would be left and Tully would be right. And then Crable might be the one that was the fill-in guy.
Well, it's all plausible. Wow. To me, there's nothing.
Like you said, not everybody was there, and it's not full practice.
But even if everybody were there at that position,
he'd be playing the side.
Don't use a pen to write anything.
Yeah, you can't read anything. When they brought Burgess in for right away, every practice they had him lining up on the right side, and then when it came to play, he was always on the left.
But I just think you have no roles that are proven at that position. I mean, even Vance-Cain, who's the 10-sack guy, none of these roles are hammered in stone. None of the guys are good enough to take for granted.
But Cunningham was at least out there running around.
He was. Brandon Spikes was running around.
Looking decent.
Sure, as decent as you can look.
Well, yeah, they had they didn't even have helmets on, never mind pads.
Now, was our out-of-space punter actually doing punting, or?
No, but I'll tell you one thing. He's got a great arm.
He does have a great arm. He was throwing the ball around.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got a really, really good arm, I'm telling you.
Tom Tupa?
For those of us that are over the age of 40, who can remember the days when Danny White was a punter and a quarterback, where Tom Tupa would throw the ball a couple times a season.
Well, this guy has a better arm than Tom Tupa, I'll tell you that.
You know, I mean, who's to say, because I'm also in the age group that never saw three quarterbacks on a team. You had two quarterbacks and that was it.
Yeah, so, I'm to say he's not going to be a quarterback.
No,
but I meant, who is to say that somebody like an Edelman or somebody like a what's his name? I get his letters mixed up. We'll just call him Spaceman.
Isaiah Standback?
What?
Isaiah Standback?
No, not Standback, but Standback's another one. The punter, Zell.
Mesko.
Oh, he's a punter. He's not a quarterback. I just happened to make an observation
he
could throw the ball.
Who's to say, if we're down to our third string quarterback in a game, most likely that game isn't going well for us.
Yeah, but so it won't be him.
Do we need to carry that third quarterback on the roster all year long to say, you know what, we're already screwed, we've lost Brady, we've lost Hoyer, do we really think that quarterback X is going to come in and lead us to victory?
You know? No, but there was no third quarterback last year.
No third quarterback last year for all year.
That's what I'm saying. Last year the Patriots were one of the very few teams that only carried two quarterbacks, and I think it's great. I'm all for it.
But I think part of that, if Kevin O'Connell were who he was supposed to be, they probably would have had three. Because a lot of those roles are developmental. You can't afford to lose them. You want to hold on to them. You want them to get reps. I don't think it's just about this guy will actually play on Sunday if the first two get hurt.
Yeah.
It's a developmental situation.
They've talked about having quarterbacks can result in draft picks later down the road.
Sure. Yeah. Every once in a while it works, like Castle.
I was going to say, but most of the time it doesn't. It's
right.
Rare that you get a Charlie Whitehorse or oh, what's wrong with me? I'm having my over.
It's been a lot.
Brett Favre.
Mark Brunell was one of those.
Yeah, Brunell.
Hasselbeck was one of those. There's been a lot of them.
To Jacksonville.
Brett Favre was one of them.
But if you only have to hit one, it's worth it. I mean, you can take four misses to get one guy you get a first or a second round pick for.
Right.
But look at what we did with a 30-plus-year-old defensive end, and we've gotten most likely a top 10 pick. If you're saying you have to do it with a quarterback, I disagree.
I didn't say you have to do it with anything, but while trying to develop a quarterback, a side value is if you can develop him, you may be able to trade him because you're lucky enough to have a franchise quarterback. You can trade anybody.
Yeah.
You're saying you trade a Richard Seymour for a one. That's great. Well, okay, we can trade Tom Brady for two ones. Do you want to?
Yeah, the values of quarterbacks are probably a couple rounds higher for equal talent. You know, you had to have an all-pro Richard Seymour to garner you a...
All-pro? The guy was on his way to a Hall of Fame career.
Right. To garner you a first rounder. Castles started 1 year in the league and you got a second rounder out of him because he was a quarterback.
Started a year, missed the playoffs, and was traded.
Right.
Yeah. However, he had what, 2 years under Belichick already?
Right.
So but, it wasn't like he was a first year rookie.
Well, but the point
his
is, he played
year,
1 year
like
in the league.
He was a deer in the headlights for 2 years. I said he wasn't going to make the team.
But you're not developing him just to trade him. You're developing him to be a backup, to maybe fill in when you need him to fill in, or to trade. There's multiple
ways.
And
then if you get into a situation where you can get something for him, then you might want to trade him.
Well,
but developing young quarterbacks is very, very good business.
No, I don't disagree, but I think in today's world, with the practice squads and things that also didn't exist years ago, if you have a quarterback that you really believe in, he's not on the practice squad. He's on the team, even if he's a rookie.
Right. And that's why I said, had Kevin O'Connell not busted out, there's a good chance they would have had three quarterbacks last year based on how much they seem to like Brian Hoyer. Had Kevin O'Connell developed at all, you would have seen Brady, O'Connell, and Hoyer.
You think Hoyer would have made the team or been on the practice squad?
I think he would have made the team.
Because I think they really like him.
Yeah, and that's where you have to put him if you really like him and you think, I mean, you're not
right,
the only team in the league.
Any other team is now going to grab him and put him on their roster for the rest of the year to keep him.
Right.
We saw that with my favorite, the wide receiver there last year, who went to Tampa Bay. Hey, why not? Tampa Bay wasn't going anywhere anyway. Maybe none is a better deal than what we think.
If you're asking me if I think that they could have gotten away with putting Brian Hoyer on the practice squad, yeah, I do think they could have gotten away with that. But if you really like a guy, then it's really not. You want to work with him, you want to keep him on the roster, and you want to make sure that you don't expose yourself to the possibility that you could lose him. Terrence Nunn was on the practice squad for, 10 weeks before they lost him? Didn't they lose him, in November? So,
yeah, late October, early November.
Yeah, so they certainly had plenty of opportunity to use him if they wanted to. Wide receivers went down left and right, and for whatever reason, he was never the guy.
Right. In fact, we were all surprised they didn't bring him.
Yeah, I was surprised. I liked him. I'm with.
We figured, what the hell? They'll give him a shot.
I'm with Brad. I liked Terrence Nunn. I thought he had a terrific training camp, and once they got all those injuries, I thought he.
Right. All right, Brad. Thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. Have a great Memorial Day and a long weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
You too, Brad. Brad from Maryland. All right. 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a quick break. Got a lot of emails.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
It's funny, I was at the beach on Tuesday.
Were you? What were you doing there?
Playing in the sand and in the water, what you do at the beach.
Was it warm on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
What? Okay.
Not as warm as yesterday when I left here and my truck said it was 104 out there, but it was nice.
Okay.
There were a couple cute high school girls
you go to?
There, too.
Dartmouth?
I went to Round Hill in Dartmouth, yes.
Round Hill?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the Hetty Green Estate, I'm not really sure who Hetty Green
is. Isn't there one of the beaches down your way that's just known for the greenhead flies?
I don't know, Horseneck maybe?
Yeah.
That's the most known beach.
That might be up by me.
Oh, yeah?
Crane Beach, and I think in Ipswich.
Is that a lot of...
I think they have a lot of those.
But we have a lot of those down in... sometimes I get those at my house, depending on the time of year. And those things bite, and they...
But they're slow.
Bite.
You kill them.
Yeah. But if you don't get them, they get you, and it hurts. It's not a little...
They'll tear your flesh.
Yeah. They'll eat you.
Mark writes in. He says that one of the writers that cover the Patriots are taking shots at PFW.
Who?
Well, he says he gives a little backstory. He says, I'm not sure if you touched on it yet, but Shalise Manzi-Young had a story with AD last week about the sorry AD quote that Sean Springs used at the locker room. AD claimed it was an inside joke from the London trip, and he explains it. But then Albert Breer tweeted about that story, and he says, and folks, this is Breer talking, spare me the who cares garbage. Absolutely relevant because people have floated it as an example of Springs being a cancer. This is what actually happened, not speculation from a 50-minute media period in the locker room. I guess people hear what they want to hear, but it really is amazing to me how differently people in our business treat people once they're on their way out. Pretty slimy, if you ask me.
Well, I would urge Albert Breer.
Who's the emailer, by the way?
Mark from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, Mark, I'm glad you brought it up, too. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I would just urge Albert Breer to go back to day one when the incident happened and hear how we treated Sean Springs and calling into question what he was doing. Because I don't care whether there was a running joke or not. Doing it at that time in that situation in those circumstances is a bad thing for him,
and don't
his teammates, and the New England Patriots as a whole.
And don't tell me he didn't know why millions of media people were around AD's locker that day.
So that's bad leadership. That's bad veteran leadership in your locker room.
Couldn't agree more. And to me, you pointing out the origin of the whole sorry back and forth thing is completely irrelevant to this story.
Right.
This particular story about Sean Springs, I am going to forever be completely unconvinced that that didn't have anything to do with this. I think that if you have a veteran player...
A lot of negatives in that sentence. I got confused.
If you have a veteran player who is... I'll give you an example, a fresh example off of OTAs yesterday. Torrey Holt and David Patton might as well have had clipboards and whistles on out there. They were doing so much instructing. Okay, they were really helping the younger wide receivers. Torrey Holt went on and on to say how important that is and how he's always considered that a big part of his job. If Sean Springs was exhibiting that kind of behavior, that kind of leadership and those kinds of qualities among the defensive backs, he would still be on the team today. Instead, as you pointed out, Fred, knowing full well why the entire media corps was around Adalys Thomas's locker at the time and the severity of the reason why, he chose that moment to make a sarcastic crack, which appeared to be an example for all the media that they didn't think it was all that big a deal.
Right.
He's a jackass.
And bad leadership, as Andy put it.
And to follow up that with, while playing and questioned about a long touchdown that Steve Smith scored that seemed like Sean Springs was involved in, he throws teammate Brandon Merriweather on the record under the bus. Thanks, Brandon. But I won't say anything. I'll take the heat for that. No, you didn't, because you pulled an Andy Hart by saying, I was going to say, and then saying it.
Right.
That's not good veteran leadership.
And okay, it was Mark that brought it up, you said? Mark in Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
I'm glad he brought it up, because
Phil?
I remember reading it when he wrote that post, and I remember thinking he was taking a shot at Andy, because Andy's the one who wrote that blog post for us. And
when I realized I was the only one who brought these events up.
No, I've read it some other places. Yeah.
When it first happened, I scanned all the blogs, and I couldn't. Everybody was saying, pure numbers. Mike Reese and Chris Price, pure numbers game. They just want to go with the youth movement. Well, that may be true. That may be a factor.
That's the overriding
factor. Then other people said,
no question.
Sean Springs failed the physical. So they were coming up with all these other ideas, not acknowledging one of the ideas could be he didn't fit in.
Right.
And these two things are fact. His alliance with Adalys Thomas and throwing Brandon Merriweather under the bus are fact, not suppositions, not anything.
Right.
They're fact.
Maybe the coaches felt
and they are bad.
And you know, maybe on other teams he's been on, Sean Springs, statements like the one about Merriweather weren't a big deal. But on this team, they stand out.
Well said, Fred. You are right. In Baltimore or some of these teams that are outspoken and bravado and all this different stuff, you're right. They might not have stood out. But in New England, that's a red flag to throw by name a teammate under the bus for a mistake he made in the game that was just completed isn't fitting in the New England locker room, certainly for a 13-year veteran. If it was Ellis Hobbs in year one, you say, you know, he's got a future, he'll learn. But to say it as a 13-year veteran who, at best, has a couple years in him, the trouble's not worth the gain long-term.
And again, Andy and I are not saying that the reason Sean Springs is gone is because he was a bad guy. I don't think either one of us thinks that he was a really bad guy. I think that was a factor. He wasn't necessarily a leader. He wasn't helping.
Chemistry.
He wasn't part
right.
of the
Chemistry.
Solution.
Right.
Right.
So as an older guy whose better days physically are behind him, if he's not over the top positive in helping and being a mentor, why keep him?
Right.
That's why I think it was a combination of all these things, but to dismiss that part of it
right.
the way Albert did, I think is completely wrong.
And we don't know for the fact that he was talking about us
he was.
Personally, but if he was, he doesn't listen to us because right. we've said this before
all along.
That happened.
Oh, it's yeah. typical.
And I'll give it, you know, Fred, I like the way you brought that up, that those kinds of comments might not have been deemed all that important somewhere else.
Right.
And you're 1,000% right. And I remember Castles last year here. Remember, the preseason did not go well for him, if you recall. He couldn't move the – Brady didn't play at all in the preseason 2008, remember?
Mm-hmm. And Castle, yes, I wanted to cut Castle.
And Castle didn't play well, didn't produce at all. And there was one play in particular, he threw an interception. And I believe it was Chad Jackson. Was he still here in the preseason of 2008? There was yeah. a receiver who stopped his route, if you recall.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty apparent live from watching it,
oh, yeah.
but you couldn't tell. And everybody was killing Castle. I mean, he was awful that preseason. They were killing him.
We thought they were going to keep the other kid that they cut.
They were piling on and piling mm-hmm. on and piling on. They were killing this guy. And I talked. Now, remember, he liked us. He came on our show with Wes Welker once. We had a. I was talking to him after that game, and it was just he and I. And I said, listen, I know you don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but was there a problem on that route? And he wouldn't say. He said, I don't want to get into any of that. The responsibility is on me. And I said, Matt, listen to me. After about a minute trying to go, I said, I'm not going to write it. I just want to know. Did he stop his route? You thought he was going to be somewhere where he wasn't. He said, yeah, and if you write that, I'll kill you.
Right.
Okay? Right. So that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Those kinds of statements,
look,
they resonate here because they don't ever happen.
The kid, the quarterback that did the thing with Gruden, who talked about
same thing.
That's why he got killed, because you just don't do that. You know, you don't lay blame, even if it is the other guy's fault. You don't do that.
Well, but, you know.
Especially on this team.
Breer was spending so much time trying to find 17 more sources that said Hernandez failed a drug test that maybe he didn't actually cover Sean Springs
Whoa.
While he was here, so I don't know.
Hey, we can hit back with the best of them.
We can sling mud better than most.
He also had to be, you know, in Irving, Texas, where he really wants to be.
Right.
Because
right.
that's, you know, the birthplace of football, rather than in Foxborough covering the team that he's supposed to cover.
Where right. they refer to him as Albert Einstein Breer because he's the smartest guy he knows.
Wow. Okay.
That's again, facts, not opinion. That's what they refer to him in Dallas.
And I actually like Albert. I get along very well with him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But you want to throw some mud, we're going to throw it back.
We're going to throw it back. And he's strong enough. He's got
oh,
thick
yeah, he'll take it
He's
fine.
Got thick enough skin to take it.
Certainly. I guarantee you, if you ask him, he'll say, oh, I wasn't talking about you guys.
Right, because he's got no stones. Whereas I'll tell him, yes, when I said Albert
Einstein
Breer, I was talking about you.
Oh, boy, they hate us. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Rich writes in from Howell. He tells me that it's between Freehold and Lakewood. Well, Rich, I'll tell you, I used to live in Manalapan. So if you know where Freehold is, you certainly
I don't know where any of the four places just listed are.
You certainly know where Manalapan is because it's right next door.
I mean, he basically told us you take a right at the old gas station, and that's how you get to Freehold. Name something major that anyone's heard of.
Freehold Raceway.
Yeah, I heard of Freehold.
The Trotters and the Pacers.
I've been to Freehold before.
What state are we in first?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, I used to live in Manalapan. You guys mentioned designated hitter on Tuesday. How would you feel about having an offensive team and a defensive team? You put out your 9 best hitters. This is baseball, apparently.
I was thinking,
yeah,
they do.
Right, I know.
Only Troy Brown played both ways.
You put out your best 9 hitters and then your best 9 fielders.
Can you tell a worse job in all of sports than if you were a designated fielder? That's awful.
You don't get to hit?
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a miserable existence.
Yeah, now you're,
I don't care how many millions you make. That is not fun.
Fred, you know I sometimes like to tell stories about my baseball past, right? And almost all of them are negative stories about myself because I don't like to do the glory days thing. Exactly what Andy's describing, I had to do once.
Oh.
I played left field in a varsity baseball game my junior year and did not bat. And it was the most miserable 9 innings of my life.
How does that happen?
Because we DH, you don't have to DH for the pitcher in high school.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can DH from anybody. Matter of fact, normally our shortstop, this is great. It just goes to show you like how sometimes coaches outsmart themselves. My senior year, we had a very good team. We won the GBL, and we went deep into the tournament. Played about 25 games. Our shortstop got DH'd four in about the first 18 games of the season. He hit three home runs down the stretch and into the tournament when he started hitting. It was like we played like the 19th game of the year. It didn't matter. We had already clinched the league, and we were just preparing for the tournament.
He learned power at the postseason level.
He let him hit, and he went 4-for-4 in the game with a home run. And then he kept hitting into the tournament. He hit a home run to tie a tournament game in the seventh inning. It was just amazing. And he went, seriously, like 18 games playing shortstop and not hitting.
Wow.
Sal Cefala. Turned out to be a pretty good hitter.
Okay.
Nice Irish guy, Salvatore Cefala.
Yeah. All right. Interesting stuff.
thank you, Fred.
Today's
nice segue.
Today's lunch was brought to us by Paul in London. So
love
thank
Paul.
You, Paul. Paul goes out a lot for us.
He's one of our great listeners, one of our Hall of Famers. If we ever start the Hall of Fame, we've talked about 720
people. Leaves it out there. Oh, by the way, speaking of Paul in London and all our great British fans and fans
all you buggers over there,
fans in the UK, I have a proposal, and I just want to get some input because, you know, the PFW in Progress is run by James Cuff and all those guys. We were thinking of expanding PFWonline.com to create a social section of it where, you know, besides just bulletin boards, you have more of that kind of friend Facebook type thing where you can do stuff with friends and it's more of a social aspect. And if we did that, I wonder, A, would people be into it?
Yes, please.
Obviously, you would only have access if you're a subscriber to PFW in some form.
Oh,
so
it would
be
really?
Private to PFW subscribers, which would be kind of neat. But if we did that, I would ask that the guys from PFW in Progress come over and kind of morph into that.
Sure.
So I just wanted to get their input on that. See, if we did that, wouldn't be anything this year. It would be like 2011 at the early. But
so you'd have some sort of Facebook type page.
Yeah, it would be more. It would be a real social interactive section of PFW in Progress or PFWonline.com.
Allow myself to introduce,
you know, so just,
myself.
Just throwing it out there.
Sure, I mean, I have no interest because, you know.
I don't even know what this is. This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Here's the certificate saying it's my bag.
You know, I'll tell you, that movie, that had a lot of great lines.
Oh, tremendous.
Movie, you know?
Tremendous. Well written.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, behave.
Anyway, Paul says, hey, guys, in the Vegas Tracer. We await his arrival. When is the next issue of the paper out? If you're sending the papers on a Monday night, I'm getting them Friday or Saturday morning so far, and for me, that's excellent.
And we send them Tuesday night.
Well, during the off season, Tuesday night. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be a week from next Tuesday.
Week from next Tuesday is our next issue. Could Brandon Tate play a Percy Harvin type role in our offense, as well as the kick returning skills?
Turn my
I think
mic off.
He could play a role in the backfield and on short screens. Get him in the open field, and he could be an asset to this offense.
Brandon Tate?
Yeah.
I think he'll be strongly in the mix for the in return duties. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about a Percy Harvin like backfield role. I don't know enough about him. Now, I will say
he's an athlete.
The first time that he got on the field last year, the first play, I think, was an end around to him.
Second was the wrong route.
That's true, but I was trying to accentuate the positive. Therefore, again, displaying the difference between me and you.
That's true. I tell it like it is. You serve up crap.
I work for the Patriots.
I do too.
Yeah, but I care about it. You don't.
I just try to be objective. Jonathan
I
Kraft
sat on those aluminum.
Objectivity.
I sat on those aluminum benches with Mr. Kraft.
And beat up a guy on those aluminum benches.
That's true.
Who was too drunk to defend
himself.
Going
back to the 40s.
That's true.
Fall. That's a felony.
Who is more likely to make the 53-man roster, Brandon Diedrich or Rich Ornberger, Ron Brace or Terrence Wheatley, Sean Crable or
I think these are either or.
Oh, okay.
So can you slow down?
All right. Diedrich or Rich Ornberger?
Ornberger.
Ornberger, but I think they're both pretty interesting.
So which one makes it?
Ornberger. I'll go Ornberger, but
okay.
I won't be surprised if Weston makes it.
Ron Brace or Terrence Wheatley?
Ron Brace or Terrence Wheatley?
Wheatley.
Wheatley.
Sean Crable or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Crable. No. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
All right. I'm really excited about the diversity of our offense. We could have two tight ends and a running back on the field and run the ball down the opposition's throat, or we could go empty set. I think the tight ends are going to create some dangerous matchups for the other teams as well. And last year we had three capable wide receivers. This year it looks like we've got six, as well as the three tight ends and Falk. Tom must be happy with his offseason acquisitions.
Who are the six?
Yeah, I don't know about the six. You know,
because in terms of known commodities, I think they have one in Moss right now. I mean, right now. Now, if Welker comes back healthy, that's certainly two. Edelman continues to progress. That's three. Torrey Holt isn't done. That's four. But there's a question mark behind all these other guys.
Tell our little Holt story.
Oh, I love this guy already, Freddie.
Yeah.
Torrey Holt. Just listening to him talk yesterday, but as we were walking back, we were coming into the tunnel and down the concourse, and he's walking behind Eric, Andy, and I, and you know, I'm hobbling along as usual, and he's like, "What do you say? Speed it up, guys!"
And he split in between us and put his arms around our shoulders, like one on each
side. That's all it takes for you guys.
Oh, that's it. He owns it.
And I gave him the old. You still got it. You blew past us or something.
Yeah.
Good.
And he gave the little laugh. Well, it was just one. You know how you're gay when you're small talk. I mean, it is what it is. That's what you do.
You know, see, hey, lawyer.
Right.
Anyway, I was listening to a few old shows and wondered whatever happened to a few PFW favorites like Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, strippers emailing in every 2 minutes during the show. Swig and Cali Girl? And most importantly, what happened to the Eric Fact of the Day? Who could forget him singing the national anthem live on the show?
I'm a big fan.
I can answer some of those. Urban Dictionary Word of the Day went away with Gary.
That's
basically
true.
Oh, you know, when we lost the producer that did stuff like that. Tried stuff. Stripper, can you stop? That's awful. Strippers went away when he got a regular girlfriend.
He's a warbler.
What's that? Oh, I thought you meant stripper. Strippers. Yeah, he got a girlfriend. He has a regular. What are some of the other questions?
Cali Girl?
No.
What happened to her?
I think she was fictitious.
She definitely called in, remember?
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything about Cali Girl. And remember Jen, the Michigan fan?
Yeah.
In Illinois?
Yeah.
She got a new job or something. Remember,
like,
she told us.
Yeah.
She had one day off and told us and then never came back again. But, you know, these people change jobs. And,
oh, I got a feeling a lot of them still, judging from the numbers.
Podcast. Yeah, they listen to the podcast.
It's hard.
They could email. They would send an email.
A lot of people send emails like
Lucky. Where's Lucky?
Yeah.
Is Lucky?
And what happened to Swig?
Lucky? He checks in occasionally. Remember, but he goes off to, like, Italy for 6 months or some random thing.
Andy Hart, boo frickity-ho.
They're out there, Fred. You're right. The numbers don't lie.
Michael in London, on Tuesday, an emailer asked
another
about the Steelers' outside linebackers being smaller than Bill's prototypical idea. The question was lost in a discussion of some movie or something, but I think it's an interesting one. I believe the Steelers' outside linebackers are 6'2" or whatever, but could they be successful in the Pat system? What is it about our system that requires them to be 6'4"?
Setting the edge.
Would also like some more info on how the Pat's 3-4 differs to other 3-4s and what advantages there are, etc. Thanks as always. Great stuff. And despite you offending me by attempting to put the Bible on the same high standards as Star Wars, I'm about to subscribe.
It's Blitzburg. They're an attacking.
Yeah, they're different. It's speed.
More of a one-gap, go-get-em defense with their zone blitzes, or Bill calls them blitz zones, I believe. He has to flip-flop it. But, yeah, they're speed-based guys. I mean, they don't look for that big, bulky, set-the-edge, outside linebacker, control the tackle. They're trying to get around the tackle more than they're trying to hold him up. So that's kind of the fundamental difference of the defenses.
Yeah, they do a lot more actual linemen dropping into zones sometimes.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
But yet they play that way, and they're still so good against the run.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think Casey Hampton has always been a very good nose tackle, and it's kind of been a key to that. But I think they have a good scheme, and they have good players. Just like the Patriots, for the most part, have had a good scheme and have a good players.
Right. If you substitute Polamalu with another safety? Are they as good against the run? I don't know.
You know, they've done a really good job developing linebackers for the way they want them to play, drafting guys based on, you know, people didn't want Lamar Woodley. They passed on him because he's not big enough.
Get
well, he'll fit here.
Right.
James Harrison, get him in the program. But they've done it over the years. They need a linebacker, they develop a linebacker. It's what they do. Whereas here, it's been more difficult.
Right. John and Lynn, I was encouraged listening to the last PRW in progress, he says, and I look forward to more finally intelligent conversation from Andy's replacement. I'm glad to hear
this
social media, my face stuff, is just a fad. We had Basil here.
Oh, that's right.
On Tuesday, sitting in your seat. And, you know, we had some good conversation.
That's what I understand.
By the way, do you think that Belichick has a MyTube page? Maybe Eric can ask him at the next press conference.
MyTube?
Well, you know how Bill called it
My Face Yearbook.
My last email, I asked a question about outside linebackers in the Belichick system, another one. Well, maybe it was more of a rant than a question. Then the subject turned to movies, which never made it another person.
What did you guys do? How did an outside linebacker question turn into movies?
I don't know.
There was a movie reference in the email, and then it just spiraled off from there.
As we're wont to do.
Want with a no.
It's want with a no.
Let's see. Nick in London. I know this is a bit late, but I've been catching up on the podcast over the last couple days. When I heard that moron had canceled the subscription because he was offended by Fred's random thoughts, I subscribed. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Your father.
What are we at? 8-10 to 1 now?
People coming to the rescue here.
We're never going to learn our lesson. Even when we do something that's inappropriate and stupid, we make out in the end.
You're right. You just bank on the listeners to save everybody.
They really are. They are enablers. You know, they're the posse that's paying Ben Roethlisberger's tab when he's the a-hole and leaves. They are enabling us. And I love it.
Let's see. Oh, a lot of emails just came in. All of it, all at once.
Read some.
Oh,
boy.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, nice. We've got a media war between the Globe and PFW. Once Mike Reese left, the Globe's quality of Patriots coverage has dropped off a bit.
I agree.
PFW is now the sole premier source for Patriots coverage.
Without question.
Nice endeavor. Usurped the local radio Patriots talk. Fred, don't wuss out.
Yeah.
Andy, glad to see you coming around on Hernandez. I was going to mention earlier that I think he is going to be a good player, but we all know how well you take a contrary opinion.
That's true. I enjoy contrary opinions.
That's a great point.
Because I enjoy wiping the floor with them.
TG all over in that one.
All right. Eric's here, so that means we have to take a break. And when we come back, Eric will tell us what he was just doing.
By the dawn's early light,
PFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, but, 5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
We all know that things can get a little out of hand at PFW in Progress when someone's missing from the show. And last week, Andy was on vacation. So, Andy, we thought we'd give you a little sample of what you missed.
Josh says no Andy today. That's sweet.
Josh hates Andy. I love it.
Boy, the studio just got really crowded. A lot going on here.
It's still less crowded, though, than when Andy's here with his big head.
Well, it's more, that's true.
More breathing room, anyway.
That's true.
Eric,
I thought it was a
Eric
good
looked at me like a serial killer. Just
well, that's what he does. Although a little bit less often now that Andy's on vacation.
Now, when you were watching Otto Graham, how close was he?
Now, I figured to myself, I can say that I don't know anything about Otto Graham safely because Andy's not here, and the sophomoric, you know, fallback crutch of the show isn't here. But I was wrong yet again.
That's nice to, you know, actually meet the fans. Nick came all the way from Hawaii.
Yep.
Kevin came all the way up from Connecticut with his whole family.
It's a good thing Andy wasn't here, though, because it is nice to meet and greet some of the fans once in a while. But if Andy was here, things would get ugly.
Yeah.
You know, people might come. We might have higher security measures and stuff.
That's right.
I mean, we hate him and all, but he's our Andy. We don't want anybody to pick him off. Just say
it. So you have a question.
I have a question.
When I was 14. Mine is 9 inches.
Really?
Oh!
Can we verify? Can we get a verification?
No.
No?
Of course.
No?
Leave it to Eric while I verify.
Absolutely.
Where was Andy?
Where's Andy when you need
him? Jockeys used to have
mark tape.
Wow. First time ever I'm actually looking forward to what the big head's going to have to say about that.
Anybody else
thinking of taking a vacation?
Are you kidding me?
Now, back to PFW in Progress with Andy Hart.
People won't like this show.
Good doc. That was a good mashup. Is that what that's called?
Yes.
That was
old. A lot of old stuff in there.
Oldie but goodies.
Remember when they put together
a lot of old
about
stuff
me saying I was going to say, and I kept saying I was going to say. I never realized how many times I said, oh, thank God Andy's not here.
Jay in Albany says, yeah, about those observations of the OTAs, are you getting to them anytime soon? Breer, who makes
for?
The team stuff not so necessary, and memory lane stuff not so necessary.
We spent the first 45 minutes talking about
what
OTAs.
What do you want to know?
Ask us a question.
Another
we'll
one.
Give you
just
an
goes
answer.
To prove
Rob
no matter what we do.
Spent significant time working on his long snapping. Is that an observation that you care about as
and
the backup long snapper?
We also talked about the blog, Fred, right off the
Wasn't
top.
Wasn't that in your observation?
To which Andy wrote about 1,200 words of observations. I put a couple of little snapshots of Ron Brace and Sean Crable. Eric had a huge update on the website about Terrence Wheatley.
These idiots can't read.
Well, we covered OTAs.
It's funny. I got an email. It wasn't to this show, but it was to the front office about.
Uh-oh.
I listened to the show for 6 minutes, and all they did was talk about blah blah blah. What a waste. Okay, so 6 minutes, they decided they know everything they have to know about the show. It's just. On the other hand, John in Clearwater says, "What's with all the football talk?" I thought PFW stood for politics, faith, and a wuss. Just messing with you, Eric. It's true, but still
and
messing.
A wuss.
Eric, you got a little growth going on there.
Right, you keep that
to
yourself.
No, is this a new thing? You're gonna.
No, it's the same thing I've been doing for the last 5 years.
Right? Oh, all right. See, now You've never had a 5 o'clock shadow like that before.
Yes, I have.
Guys, can you back me up?
Well,
here?
He actually has, but it'll be funnier if I say I've never seen it.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
I personally do not recall,
no,
Senator.
This is a little. Is this an extra day that you've gone without?
No,
shadow?
Fred.
No,
it's been
no.
about a month.
It's definitely been longer than this. I've definitely seen it much longer than this.
Yeah. Absolutely,
this sounds very gay.
Real?
Yeah.
No, Dwayne Bow.
Are you going to keep growing it?
No, I can't do. I don't like growing a full beard.
You don't like
full beard looks. I don't know. That's too
You've
much.
You've had one before?
No, I just don't like the idea.
So how do you know?
I've seen him.
Because when I just asked him if he had a beard.
The best part is you didn't do it on purpose, did you?
No, of course not. I don't think that way, Andy.
Oh, shut up. You ended a show with, did you hear about the convention of women with no legs?
But I don't do it 24 hours a day with everything that somebody says.
Yes, you do. You walk by my cube and whisper inappropriate, immature things all day long when you're not in important meetings.
Oh, all day long.
We can tell when you're not in an important meeting because you come into either my cube or Paul's office and sit down and start being an idiot.
Well, he always says
he hypes up his pants first.
Yeah. Yes. He always has the same smile.
That's
on
how
his
you know
face.
It's coming.
Yeah, that goofy smirk.
Polly, what's going on? And I'm like, all right, Fred, what'd you hear?
Okay. Another observation tied into this. Same type of smirk that Ryan Wendell had when he de-cleated George Bus Bussey in a non-contact drill yesterday.
Well, it was contact with the.
Yeah, but I got to say non-contact to make sure the team doesn't get in trouble.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a contact.
Bussey was holding
was
a pad.
Things.
Wendell did his pass punch, and Bussey just went down like he was shot by a sniper. And Wendell goes right afterwards, gets a drink, and he has that just like, cool, yeah, I'm pretty cool. I just kicked a guy's ass smile on his face.
So, Eric, where were you?
I was upstairs at the Community MVP Awards event.
And how was that?
Well, the event is just starting now. The actual MVP event.
And it's a great event for the community.
It is. Okay. And for the organization.
Well done, Andy. But Bill Belichick spoke, and he has not spoken since the draft.
Right. Bill and Robert spoke back-to-back.
Mr. Kraft to you.
Like how those guys fight in the movies where they go back-to-back and just take on all comers.
Yeah. Not quite like that. Though that would be funny if they both did interviews at the same time.
You'd have to go around trying to sneak in questions, catch them off guard.
Like at the Super Bowl media day when you got to decide, do I stay here, exactly. Do I go there?
Really nothing newsworthy from Bill. Robert had one or two things that were mildly
quips.
Interesting. Somebody brought up about the rookie contracts that have already been signed, and I think they phrased it like, all right, you've already signed a couple of rookies. Excuse me. And he said, a couple or is it three? And the way he said it, it sounded like they had a third one to announce, and so we pressed him on that, but he didn't reveal if there was a third one yet.
Clearly they do.
I'm not so sure.
Now, you said nothing newsworthy of Bill. Can you tell us what he said and let us judge?
Yeah, you know, he was asked about the Community MVP Awards event.
I'm with you, Fred.
Okay.
He was going to be one of those things.
Eric is in a pissy mood. What's wrong, Eric?
What, the fact that I had to miss an hour and 15 minutes of the show for this?
No news.
That made you so pissy?
Yeah.
I'd rather be here on the show. Be here taking shots like Fred saying, you never had a beard or whatever.
That's an important event for this organization. They're helping the community. They're spotlighting people who have done great works and rewarding
them. I didn't say it wasn't. Right. I said I had to miss an hour of the show, though, to try to get some news out of it, and there was no news out of it.
And we're back full circle. Let Fred be the judge of that.
MVP Awards event.
We'll just have to read Mike Reese's blog to find out what happened.
OTAs, he was asked about, didn't really give anything of substance about that. Yeah, it's hot out. It's good to be out there. Work up a little sweat. Work on your suntan.
It was hot.
Being more hands-on with the defense, said nothing. Was basically just, oh, yeah, every coach likes to be more involved, blah, 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 generic nothing. Joint practices with New Orleans and Atlanta.
Is Andy Hart like this little rant he's going on? I'm talking fast. He said
really,
nothing, answered nothing.
It was literally a four-minute interview, and then they rushed him out the door.
Okay, let me ask you a specific question. Did anybody ask about his contract?
Negative. Poo. Nobody had the sack.
Nah.
Was Albert Einstein Breer there?
No.
Oh, damn it.
And then he was asked about the rookie signings, and he said, oh, you know, it's just business as usual. So
no one,
as I said, nothing
contract,
newsworthy from Bill.
People asked about rookie signings?
Yes. The only other...
I'm so disappointed with the whole profession, Fred.
Well, I know you are. The profession.
The only other newsworthy item that had some interest was somebody asked about Mankins and Brady contract updates.
Yep.
And the owner said, I'm not the one doing that, so I can't really answer that. All I can say is that they're two young players who are very important elements of the future of this team.
I agree with the owner. Young. You've got a lot of Brady left. You guys are trying to make him paint him as old and 2 years left and run him out of town.
Brady's not young.
Not old.
He's closer to old than young.
Hell no.
What's young?
In football terms. Obviously, he's a young man in life.
I like the
in life, Susan.
I also like how he distanced him. That's not my job to do those. It's your money.
It kind of is. But...
And, on the Brady level, at least.
That's what I'm saying. You can't sign Tom Brady without it being part of Robert Kraft's.
Right. That's owner-level contract. Mm-hmm. That's not a... Yeah, Bill doesn't walk in and says, I made the decision. Yeah. We're going in a different direction at quarterback.
You
and the owner
sign,
goes, whatever you want. You're the boss.
You can sign Ted Larson.
No, we're not. We're going in a different direction at coach.
Right. You know, without, you know, ownership necessarily having to be there to dot the I's and everything. But you can't really do that with Tom Brady.
Yeah. Maybe Taylor Twellman.
If you're going to hand a guy over, 50-plus million in signing bonus, pretty sure that the Crafts are going to have to sign off on that.
Speaking of soccer and Taylor Twellman, who scores less often? The Revs or Eric Scalavino? I meant to email that in the other day.
Maybe I will go back up to that community MVP award.
What they have for club up there? They must have
good
had
good Eric. Good.
I don't know. We didn't get any of it.
Oh, we didn't.
Were you
get
like
any?
No? They have the draped.
It's
off
the sit down table
now,
area.
Did other members of the media get any?
Any food?
Yeah.
No. Any news? I thought he was saying any news.
Well,
I'll
find that out when I go and read the blogs later. And read these quotes.
There's no news that came out of these two events. I mean, there might.
He hadn't finished the sentence before he backtracked.
Are you going to let me finish this sentence?
No, I don't feel like
you are right, Fred.
Okay.
He is.
I don't think there'll be anything newsworthy coming out of your mouth.
He is mean as a snake today. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And he's upset that he had to miss this.
You got a hair across your ass today.
We had our regular trip to the kitchen.
I'm not doing it, Fred. I'm not doing it.
Any news that comes out will have come out after the event, because there was talk that the owner might be available again after the awards event.
Really?
And Kevin Faulk might be available after the awards event.
But Belichick won't be?
It didn't sound like
he's
it.
He's got coaching to get to.
Because that's really the only news that I would be... Belichick hasn't spoken in a while. So that would be the only news. Mr. Kraft just spoke at the owners' meetings. He has kind of been... out there a little bit talking about the video boards and other things. The Super Bowl he's been really outspoken about. So I'm less looking for fresh stuff from Mr. Kraft than I would be from Belichick.
Talk about the video boards, Fred?
We did. I talked about them on Tuesday.
I'm intrigued by those. You know how I'm a sucker for gadgets and innovation.
Well, this is a big, big gadget.
Well, I said to Paul,
and
to me...
Doc's at the controls.
Scary. The measuring stick... One of the measuring sticks is the Atlanta Baseball Stadium, where when they do the wide press box view of the stadium, their HD board in center field is gargantuan. It's got to be, it's a square, and it's got to be 100 by 100, some ridiculous, and it is crystal, crystal. Even from the long shot far away, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
I hope we approach that, because that's great.
The HD picture on these boards is going to look awesome.
I hope so.
Is there 3D?
No.
Why would there be 3D?
That'd be cool. You give them your glasses.
That will not catch on. That's a fad.
Right. If you want 3D at a sporting event, look in front of you.
I think it could catch on like the NFL did in a theater. The best of the best, where you go to an event and watch it. But not every... I mean, you're going to invite people over. You're going to make sure you have the right number of glasses so everybody can watch the freaking game.
Well, you bring your own. Everyone's going to have their own.
No, everyone's not going to have their own.
No, I'm
another one of your ideas that's not going to latch on.
3D, I'm not with you. I'm with you on 3D.
Stormtroopers will bring
started,
3D glasses.
I'm not a big
over.
Fan of 3D.
I started the show when Fred was very argumentative. I said he was taking over my role today. And just on Tuesday, he was saying exactly what you're saying right now. Okay. When you weren't here,
right.
How much he didn't think 3D TV was in the
it's
was
such
a big thing
right
in the future. Now,
now
he's just arguing with you for the sake of arguing.
How many suckers are there out there? That's what I want to know. How many thousands of people will go out and buy their $3,000 HD 3D TV?
Right,
sucker.
Right on their forehead.
Aid. Until the adult channels come in 3D, and then he'll be in line to buy one.
He's got a point there.
Maybe the Food Network.
Yeah.
My eye! You can't eat it. It's just 3D.
Brian in New Hampshire. Hey, PFW guys, great job in your draft coverage and off-season coverage in general.
Thank you.
I'd rather hear you talk guys talk than watch ESPN any day of the week.
Thank you.
Anyway, I've been thinking about subscribing to Patriots Football Weekly, but I don't know anything about it. Could you maybe talk about what kind of stuff that you guys put in the in-season and in the off-season, and how much does it cost?
Fred?
Well, it's for 30 issues, which is monthly in the off-season and weekly starting training camp and through the season. It's only $46.95. That includes the yearbook. Gets mailed right to you. That's a $12.95 value right there.
Do you still get the binder to put all the issues in?
You have to order that separately.
But wait, there's more.
You also could get four
bonus
additional
issues
right, depending on how far the Patriots go
right
in the playoffs.
It's too bad Billy Mays isn't around anymore, because we could have gotten him to do a PFW.
And if you act now, you get exclusive access to PFWonline.com
when it's up and running.
Subscribers only.
Sweet.
When it doesn't bounce you to some domain.
So you get all that. 30 issues of PFW.
At least 30, because if they make the playoffs.
Just let me do my spiel.
You're going to let him finish, Eric?
You get all that.
I thought that's what we did on the show.
30 issues of Patriots Football Weekly, plus four bonus issues as long as the Patriots start in the play. And you get
the last year's didn't really feel like a bonus issue.
The yearbook, when it gets mailed in August, you get that for free. And access to PFWonline.com, all for the low, low price of $46.95.
Well, he also asked what
what you get for that. And I would say, among the highlights,
content,
without question, right, is our draft stuff. The pre-draft stuff, coming off the combine that Andy and Eric go to, very extensive combine coverage leading into the pre-draft issue, where we have comprehensive breakdowns of all of the positions and all of the draft-eligible players. And then the post-draft issue is one of my personal favorites, when we do profiles of all of the guys
Chock
the Patriots draft.
Issue.
That has a bunch of information
it's
in
a
there.
Full 40 pages.
And then you
the
get
rest
to,
we have asked.
And then you get to, you know, later on in the off season when we hit the training camp preview, I think is as good a training camp preview and primer for the Patriots season as any that you see out there.
I also think our training camp coverage is better than anyone.
No
out
question.
There.
And week to week,
I actually think
the
our
season,
game coverage is more inclusive. We give more
everything.
Quotes, more information than you'll get in your Monday Morning Globe, or any more photos, certainly. You'll get more color photos from the game.
It's also
action.
A full color.
The only in the NFL, although there's five others, but we're still going with the only.
And you get to read the greatest editor letter in the world.
Yeah, if you can't read the edit letter that's about five paragraphs to open the issue and get excited about the next week's game or the next move or the next offseason,
you're not a Patriots fan,
because Fred does the Go Pats better than anyone on the planet.
Fred was able to get me excited in the immediate aftermath of the 33-14 loss to the Ravens in the playoffs last year. I was looking forward to the first preseason game.
It's true.
Fred does it.
Right. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
You also get a poster.
Yeah, John in Palm Bay is on the phone. Hey, John.
I haven't heard from John in a long time.
How you doing?
Good.
Where you been?
What's up, John?
I've been working.
That's good.
Still getting downloading the podcast, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Listen every week.
Okay.
Sweet.
Hey, I got two quick questions for you. One is on next year's draft. Say if Oakland has a number one pick and we're offered two number ones for one of the quarterbacks coming out, what do you think Patriots might do? And the second question is, if Deion Branch or Terrell Owens, what do you think the chances of either one joining the Patriots this year are?
I don't think either there's a chance.
I think there's a chance
more
for
of a
Branch,
chance for Branch,
but I don't think there's a chance.
Isn't Branch recouping from an injury right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge
another
chance.
Another injury? Mm.
But third knee surgery in 26 months.
Yeah.
But I think if he's available at any point during the year, you could see him join the Patriots.
Yeah. I don't see T.O. But I don't see T.O. That's why I said
no.
I think there's a chance for Branch, but not for T.O. Your first question, two number ones for the number one overall pick last year, I think the Patriots would take that.
Yep, no question.
Yeah.
Unless there's a specific guy, you know, the Robert Quinn guy that I threw out there as this beast of an edge guy. But even then, I think Bill would pass it up and
maybe they would have to take the quarterback because they hadn't signed Brady yet.
Are you saying?
Just saying.
John, are you saying two number ones in the same draft or one in 1 year and one
the
next?
They offered two number ones like back-to-back years for the next year's number one pick.
So they would still have two number ones in the first round next year, and then
right,
they'd have two
number
ones
and
the following year. Yeah,
just
I think
the
they
way,
would do
I
that.
Mean, the way they want the multiple second-round picks, it's all about value, and to me, they would see that as value. Plus, let's not forget, no one knows exactly that whole rookie contract wage scale, what that's going to be. Everyone kind of pinpointed that as this great coup of why the pick is great,
Well, no one knows exactly what, when, or how that's going to play out.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you go, and hopefully the Patriots will win the Super Bowl again this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, John.
All right, John.
Good
call
to hear
back
from
next
you.
Week.
John in Palm Bay, one of our more excited and passionate callers.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. He's one of our original listeners.
Oh, yeah.
He's been around forever.
He's yeah. Been,
yeah. That's why
I'm
surprised.
To offend him, please.
Surprised that we hadn't heard from. Well, I don't know if you had a Bible joke, you know, ready at the ready there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend Perillo.
Yeah, I know, because I'm very religious.
How's it going, guys, says Jose. I've been a big fan of the show for about 6 years, and you guys never cease to amaze me, whether it's talking about the subtle bouquet of a man's special sauce or how in some circles Jesus and Yoda are the same guy. No conversation is out of bounds. But anyway, here's my football question.
Actually, there are.
Do you guys really see Ron Brace getting cut after only 1 year? Do you guys see him making any kind of second-year jump? At least show enough promise to jump over someone like a veteran like Warren. I feel like he was saying the right things in a recent interview, and he feels like it's a brand new ball game in his second year. What are your thoughts?
No chance he can jump over Warren.
Saying
well,
good
what
things.
What about Gerard Warren?
No chance.
No.
That's what he's like 6'4 to jump over him. It'd be ridiculous.
Saying good things and doing good things on the field are two different
right.
things.
I
we've yet to see him do
that.
I
am not as convinced as Andy is, and maybe judging on what Eric just said, as Eric is, that he's gone.
I'm not convinced he's gone, but I think there's a legit.
But I do think that
50-50
he was
at best.
He was a disappointment. We talked about this a lot, Eric, at the beginning of the show, you know, as we ran down the OTAs, even though somebody doesn't think we talked about football at all. I was a little taken aback by some of the things he said yesterday. I thought he didn't say anything that was derogatory, but I just thought that there was some. I thought he was physically overmatched at times last year, and he talked about the biggest struggle were all mental. And then he made a comment that it was up to Bill, and Bill has his reasons for not playing him. And I was like, well, it was pretty clear why you weren't playing when you did actually get a chance to play.
You
all found out the reason.
Right.
So some of the things that he said I found curious, but not in a disrespectful way. I thought he was, very well-spoken, and I thought spoke his mind. But I'm just wondering if he's got what it takes to balance the physical and the mental, because Andy brought up a good point. It looks like he might be lacking in both areas.
So it didn't. It sounded like he didn't understand the
why
reason
he
why
playing.
He wasn't playing.
Yeah. Now, if you read what he said, Coach Belichick has been around this league for a long time, and he has his reasons.
Mm-hmm.
When asked, if he was surprised by the fact that he didn't play more, people were surprised they didn't see a second round pick on the field more, and that was the way he answered. He said he was shocked. That was the first quote I used in the blog post about him was. He said, I was shocked. It was a shock to me, I think, was the way he put it. I mean, I just look at it, when he did play, I don't think it should have been shocking to anybody
right.
that he didn't play more than he did.
Yeah, he might be saying that just having played every down, almost every game.
And I think that's more along the lines of what he was talking
about. It's a shock
to the
system of not seeing.
Culture shock.
Yeah.
Going from being a star to being
right.
on the bench.
But I do think there's a better than average shot that one of the two veterans, Lewis or Warren, doesn't pan out.
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely
a
chance.
If it's close, they're going to keep Brace.
Right.
I concur.
Because he's obviously got a lot more upside. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's out of the picture.
Why is it so hot in here?
I don't know. It's
That's why Eric Fred keeps opening the door because it's so
Does
hot.
Does the system not work?
No, what happens in buildings like this when the temperature goes...
Just stop.
This ought to be good.
When the temperature outside goes to extremes, it was 95 degrees yesterday, and
100.
It's down to 65 today.
It's fine up in the office.
The buildings
I'm
don't
saying.
Adjust quick enough.
It's fine up in the office. Yeah. And I've been told that this, forget it.
That was very Ferreira-like. Oh, yeah.
I have industry sources that tell me that the AC system in this place might be a little underpowered.
The industry sources?
Yep.
Yeah. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Mike in Puerto Rico is on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Ding, ding.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
Mike.
I'm not. I just thought I'd grab by the ding, ding. That was a good one, Andy.
Thank you. You want to yell at Paul
that
now? Go.
Good.
We now refer to Paul as Roly Poly Paul Perillo.
How you doing, Paulie?
What's up?
Everything okay?
Everything is great. What's going on?
Awesome. I got a couple of things. I don't know if it's worth discussing, but it's the off season, so what do you know? Do you think it would benefit the NFL to have a, for example, Bears-Packers Super Bowl a Patriots-Colts or even a Patriots-Jets Super Bowl, something like that. I know the system ain't broken. I know this is completely out of left field. It's not something new, but it's something crazy. And I was just thinking what you thought about a playoff seeding system where you would take the eight teams that qualify both on the NFC and AFC and just rank them by record.
Right. And it's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
I've heard it
throughout this stretch of Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Chargers were the best teams in football, and yet every year your Super Bowl involved the Bears or the Seahawks.
Think about all of those NFC
fourth
beatings.
Fourth or fifth best team in football that were in the big game.
Yeah, think about the late 80s, early 90s when the NFC just pounded the AFC.
The NFC championship was the Super Bowl.
How many times you might have gotten a better Super Bowl? I'll tell you this, Mike. I like that idea a lot better than playing a Super Bowl in a blizzard.
At least it opened up the door. I don't know. I mean, football is, everybody keeps complaining because, for example, down here, if it's raining, you can't play basketball, you can't play softball, you can't play, any of that stuff. And I always look at it like, I mean, you bunch of wussies. I mean, this is football weather. But then they basically come back to me and say, oh, yeah, well, the Super Bowl is every time the biggest game for that particular sport is played in either in a closed stadium or in a warm weather stadium. So how much of a football weather can it be?
Yeah, but I tell you, those decisions were never made because of the game itself. It was always made because of the paying audience and the corporate sponsors.
Right, and the parties and the week and the vacation area and everything.
Yeah.
I just like it because
once in a while.
I think it's a – I mean, if it's a one-time thing and Eric made that point on Tuesday, then I could live with it. But if they're going to regularly rotate it in the mix and have a cold weather, I just think that as the league you should want the best product possible on display. And I think if you run the risk of bad weather games not being played well, I don't think that's good for a Super Bowl. But, I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. I know.
Do you see a more memorable Patriot game than the Snowball? How memorable was that?
Yeah, Super Bowl 36 was pretty memorable to me. But
yeah, but Paul brought up a good point, Mike. If that game had ended because of the tuck rule and the Patriots have lost,
wouldn't have been a memorable
game. We would be all saying, that's ridiculous.
We would have beaten him on a dry field.
Right. It was memorable because
I wouldn't argue that.
I wouldn't either, but I
think you had zero chance of beating them on a dry field.
I think Patriots fans would. That's part of my point in a nutshell.
The Oakland fans are saying the opposite. They're saying, that's ridiculous. If we had had them in, good condition, we would have killed them. And they might have a point. Oakland was pretty good that year. Remember, they went to the Super Bowl the next year.
The bottom line is exactly the way you described it on Tuesday, Fred, when you and I for once were actually aligned. The Patriots went to New Orleans and indoors beat a team that was a finesse team, greatest show on turf. Because you know why? It's not a disadvantage for a Northeast team to play in perfect conditions, but it is a disadvantage for a mamby-pamby finesse team to have to play in bad conditions. It's an advantage for the Northeast team. But if you're playing in perfect conditions, it's even. It's edge even. There's no intangible edge there. And I think the Patriots proved that. And there's been other teams that have done that as well. I mean, you don't have to be – there's no disadvantage to being a bad weather team playing in good conditions, but there is the other way around.
I just thought, could you imagine – just tell me, what are the chances that a playoff seeding that way gives us a Patriots-Colts Super Bowl? How could that not be the highest-rated Super Bowl of all time?
Well – not just looking at it on a microscopic level, Patriots-Colts, theoretically it gives you the better chance to have the best team
that year.
It doesn't always play out. A team loses, there still be upsets, but you have a better opportunity to have the two best teams in football regardless. Mm-hmm.
And, it's funny because, I didn't want to bring it up because you guys were going to jump on me, but last show we were talking about the whole bid that was in process for New York to get the Super Bowl, and, we said that
seems like it was a Rhode Island politics like
a lot of people said that the
it was done before it started.
A lot of people said that the best sporting event in the world is the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I don't think there's any question.
I was thinking that, the maybe a one-day event, but I think the World Cup and the NCAA tournament as
entirety?
Entirety.
If you want to consider them an event.
Yeah, of course they are.
They approach that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that,
about WrestleMania.
To what Mike is talking, if now you make the road to the Super Bowl, that bracket type thing, now it kind of takes on that flavor that excites mm-hmm. people for NCAA and the World Cup.
Well,
you know,
well, wait a minute now, and I agree with you about the events, the caliber of events, but the NFL is a bracket system.
No, but they don't take everybody and then break down the divisions and then seed them 1 to 8.
No, they seed them 1 through 6 in each conference.
In each conference, overall.
But that's what they do in the NCAA tournament. There's an East region and a West region.
No, I know, but
that comes from Cinderella teams, which I think is World Cup, the same.
But,
32
but,
is not the same as one in the World Cup.
Because in the college basketball, you know, you're not necessarily playing teams that you face during the season. In NFL.
Oh, no, I'm not against Mike's idea.
Yeah.
Instead of seeding them 1 through 6 in each conference, seed them 1 through 12.
1 through 12.
I'm not against that.
Yeah.
I think there's, Andy just said it, you know, you have a better chance of getting the two best teams as opposed to the best team in each conference playing each
right,
other.
Right, right.
Now, we know you won't because 1 versus 1 never happens.
I'm not against that. I'm not against that at all. I think Mike's idea is, I think it's an intriguing one. I wouldn't mind if they did some research on that and looked into doing that a little bit. I don't think it's broken necessarily the way they do it now.
Right, that doesn't matter. They'll change anything. Whatever Goodell wants, Goodell gets.
But I don't have any problem with Mike's idea of seeding the teams from top to bottom and just regardless of conference.
And then
that would make it a lot more
interesting.
And
you want to talk about late games meaning something. Now, you know, that game that you win at the end of the season might make a difference in the seeding because there's a team in the NFC that right now you don't have to worry about.
Exactly.
Being, you know, leapfrogging.
If you have the same record.
Now,
or if you're,
now
yeah.
you might have to worry about that late
yeah,
win.
Yeah, that
it makes
no,
a lot
true.
Of sense. It makes that's the kind of
like
stuff
the Saints,
they should be working
the
on.
The Saints and Colts would have needed to
Park
continue
Avenue.
To win to
right.
ensure the
that
number
help.
One seed.
Right, right. So.
Oh, I didn't realize I was that brilliant.
You are brilliant. No, we'll
but one point, and before I get off, because you said the three events, Super Bowl, March Madness, and World Cup.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, obviously, if you take those, it's obviously World Cup above anything and everything else because it's a four-year process
right.
that doesn't bring a team, does not bring a city. It brings a nation together. And it's even if you look at it that way, it's even bigger than the Olympics.
I agree with that. I have to agree with that. Worldwide, it's a bigger event.
Yeah, because I think because people in countries
the World,
are more
the World Cup.
They're
yeah.
more attached
no,
to
no
their
doubt.
Soccer team
right.
than they are disparate
yeah.
Olympic
there's,
sports.
There's no doubt worldwide that's a far bigger event than anything that we have here in just the United States.
Yeah,
and people literally get distraught. I mean, people get depressed and
people
and,
die.
You know, on World Cup losses and March Madness. I never really understood how big it is or why it's that big.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike. No, you're good.
I never understood March Madness. I mean, I'm not a Northeastern guy. You know, my team doesn't get blown out every year and stuff like that. So I really don't understand the concept. So, but as far
Paul's
as
Paul's not
Cup,
paying attention to your shot there, Mike.
And just so you know, Mike, he would beg to have his team blown out of the NCAA tournament.
Is this one of
they
those
don't get anywhere
games?
Near the NCAA tournament.
They've been 7 times. What are you talking about?
In 150 years, they've been 7 times.
Well, it's
5%. That's just ridiculous.
So.
If you knew your history, they haven't been division.
You know
one
that zero to hot. He's working on hot over here.
Yeah, at you, Mike's bringing some sense to the conversation. You're not as usual.
All right. Oh.
See you, Mike.
Low blow.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Yeah,
I
just rolls.
Roly poly. Conversation and go Pat.
Mike, thanks for calling in. That's Mike from Puerto
thanks,
Rico.
Mike.
WebRadioPatriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Just a reminder, if you want to subscribe to PFW, the number is 1-800-494-PATS. Or you can go to PFWOnline.com and subscribe online. Special offer there for international subscribers. But, you know, we need your business.
Does 494 spell anything?
No, it doesn't. Maybe ass? I don't know.
No, it doesn't, because S can't be 494. Like,
I wasn't being literal. I was just kidding around.
Try to make it fit a little.
Steve
bit.
In Toronto. Hey guys, great shows. I must commend the show that Fred was busy with Mr. Wilfork, then showed up for the last 45 minutes to put it over the top. There were a couple times I had tears from laughing so hard. I don't know what happened in that show.
Who knows?
What did we do?
I forget.
However, today. There seems to be something fishy with the website. On the website, the Wheatley link has plenty of OTA notes, but the link below it, the PFW blog OTA observations, takes you to a filler page.
Yeah.
I've been trying since 7 a.m., so every time Andy has said, read the blog, I have been yelling back at the computer, I effing can't.
I thought we had that fixed.
I think that was fixed as of 11 o'clock this morning.
It's got something to do with your computer, because mine, when I refreshed, instantly went back to the blog. Chris Ferreira, the monkey webmaster, on his computer, it just kept going to that page over and over again, so I don't know about...
It was stuck in his cache.
Well, yeah, I apologize.
Cookies, cache.
Because I've been one of the guys, I continue to say, check the blog and look at the... If it's not coming up properly, then yeah. I apologize for that. I thought that was
fixed. I just
wanted
it's working, so maybe you have to refresh or restart
Toyota
or something.
Toyota just got to it, so give it another give it another shot.
User interface problem.
Yeah.
Operator error.
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. He claims he's the biggest Patriot fan in Erie. With the Super Bowl being held in New York and the possibility of the weather being inclement.
Matt?
Inclement.
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 Paul, did you get it, Matt?
Do you think teams may gear more towards a running game to set themselves up for the big game in the snow?
Well, you're not going to build your whole season on what you would do in the Super Bowl. You got to get there.
Right.
Although I did. Was it a joke? I saw something. Is Bodog already offering odds on... It'll snow, it won't snow, game time temperature will be 34
and a half. I immediately thought that. I figured
overs
Vegas would have a snow odds.
Yeah, I saw that. I believe it's 34 and a half is the over-under for
and
the game time.
You know, again, this is more of a Paul thing than me. Paul gets more irritated, but I just thought it was laughable.
Would I get irritated?
Minutes after that announcement that New York got it, the league had some weatherman give the average temperatures for...
Yeah, and they were wrong, by the way. Did you see that?
Well, I don't know if they were wrong, but they were all
The initial report was the average temperature was 39.
Right.
Turns out that the high average temperature is 36.
Right.
I also don't know whether it's 36 or 39. It's 70 somewhere else.
Plus, those are the highs. This game's played at night.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And
but I don't think the average temperature is 39
show
degrees.
Show me the average in New Orleans, Miami, and your other cities that could have had it. It blows it away.
Look.
Don't try to sell me on it's not as cold as you think it is there. It's as cold as you think it is.
They should just come out and say we made an exception because they're $1.6 billion in the hole. They need to sell tickets. They need to sell naming rights to the stadium. So
see,
if we,
I would be fine with
it if we're helping them out. And we're helping them out.
If what you just said is accurate, I would be fine with it.
Well, it is accurate.
I don't think so. I think there's an ulterior motive behind this. They want to start doing this. They want to rotate it around. Seattle, Green Bay, Chicago.
Hills of Seattle.
I think you can look for Super Bowls over the next 15, 20 years.
The field is
every
flat,
4 or 5 years, it's going to go to a place like that. And I think it's going to be – I don't think it's a good idea.
It's a terrible idea. Well, like most of Goodell's in the second portion of his tenure in the league.
You know, as much as I would want one here at Gillette Stadium, I was thinking about – we were talking Tuesday, that Route 1. Oh, my God.
It would be terrible, obviously.
You're going to have to...
You'd have to have a different road.
You'd
have
to have helicopters
stuff.
Coming in to bring
you'd have
people
to
in.
Prepare. But that ship has sailed.
Well, I don't think so.
Robert Kraft said that ship has sailed.
I think they just raised the
I think he's being
sail.
A good soldier.
Exactly. I think that...
I'm sorry. I take Mr. Kraft at his word. You guys can call
I think he's
disingenuous.
I think he's doing what's best for the league. That's disingenuous.
If he's doing what's best for the league, then he knows that ship has sailed. Because having a Foxborough Super Bowl is not a good
thing. If they're going to start rotating them around, we're in the mix.
We shouldn't be. None
absolutely.
Of us should.
I'm not saying whether
not
or not
be,
we should be,
never
but
have
we
been.
Are in the mix if they start rotating them around.
I go with Fred. Now, if you're right.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
About your Meadowlands thing, and that's the reason, then I'm, you know, I can live with it for a one-time thing and just pray that the Patriots don't go that year.
Yeah.
We could drive to
Toyota Super Bowl. Just gives me the average temperatures for New York in February. Which is from? What website?
It's from MSN.
MSN. So it's mostly upper 20s.
The high was like 40.
Which is what I saw yesterday. It was like 27 to 36 was the low and high average. Now everywhere, and you saw the same thing I did, Eric, everywhere on the day that they were having the vote, they said the average temperature in February is 39 degrees in New Jersey. I don't know where they got that from.
Maybe that's right at the stadium
at noon.
In the swamp or something.
You know,
one day in February?
And I'm sure. The other thing I was thinking about was, you know, I made the statement that, well, you know, they'll have contingency plans. They'll whatever amount of snow removal they have, they'll triple it just in case. But when it snows on the day, what about the seats?
Mm-hmm.
That's besides getting in and out of the stadium – it's the seats themselves that have to be on.
You know, and people have talked – that's another good point, Fred. People have talked about the snow game
the Miami game here.
What, when 40,000 stayed home?
Exactly.
You think 40,000 will stay home at the Super Bowl when they paid $1,000 for the ticket?
And what would have happened if those 40,000 people that didn't come that day came? Where would they
like
sat?
Special teams, Paul, only disorganized
and
chaos.
We're
absolute bleeping riots.
This is a real downer, but the first time they don't cancel the game in a blizzard and someone dies trying to get there,
right?
That'll be it.
Or worse. Well,
because of the weather.
I guess it can't go worse, but when there's a traffic jam and riots break out and who knows what happens because people can't get in.
People are leaving their cars
all the roads
on the
way. Are snow. Right. Yeah. Ditching cars. And you can have chaos.
People get pissed off when
they don't think of these things.
Well, this is the point I was trying to make on Tuesday. This past winter, cities were ground to a halt because of a major blizzard in Philadelphia, in Washington, in New York City. The cities just stopped. Now, I know it's a long shot that it actually happens on that particular day or the day before a Super Bowl, and I hope it never happens. I hope it doesn't happen like that. But if something like that were to happen, and I think it's foolish.
The blood's on your hands, Goodell.
But I think it's foolish to roll the dice when you don't have to. Yeah. See, the snowball here at Foxborough was a playoff game in January. You have no control of that. The Patriots earned a bye. They had to host that game. You have control over where the Super Bowl is. Why would you run the risk of something like that happening in the Super Bowl?
See, that's why, Paul,
it's an unnecessary
billion
risk.
Reasons.
I, that's why I think the motivation here is to help out New York. And let's face it, New York is the biggest market. You know, there's two teams there. It's a big stadium. The economy isn't the greatest thing. They need a boost. I do hope they made an exception and it stays that way. That it is an exception and it doesn't become opening up, you know, for other teams. I hope the owners simply say, we're not doing that again.
Well, I think they'll see how it goes with New York.
But if it goes great.
Right, I'll feel the same
so
way.
So what? Yeah.
Now you're increasing the odds it won't go great at some point.
And, and by the way,
you've used up a free
pass. But that's human nature. It'll go well and they'll say, okay, let's try it somewhere else.
We all hope it goes well.
Yeah.
But we don't know what can happen if it doesn't.
But they're going to take the chance if it goes well.
That's how it works. Look at the freaking offshore drilling. No one knew there could be a spill, but now that there's a spill, we stopped doing it. Well, you didn't know there could be a spill?
Right, exactly.
So he's right. If it works, they'll do another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll wait till it blows up before they say, you know, that wasn't a good idea, was it?
I hope the and I guess that this vote was pretty close. I guess Tampa Bay didn't lose by that much. At least they said they felt they didn't lose by that much.
Well, I think the fact that they had to have the third, you know, they went to the third vote.
Yeah.
I mean, tells you that.
I hope the other owners.
Tells me Goodell didn't get what he wanted.
I hope those owners who voted against this one dig in their heels and continue that way. And I hope this remains, I think, an exception that maybe should have been made. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be helping out New York. I think New York is an important enough market, and they have enough investment.
Two things.
They need to help them, but. You know, I think that's where it should end.
Most of the issues you just raised, though, why weren't they raised as much with Detroit?
I think Detroit...
Because the only advantage Detroit has is
the
actual
roof.
Field is covered.
Yeah.
But people
Minnesota
getting there,
as well.
The blizzard, that was all
Minnesota,
a
back
theoretical
in
the early 90s.
I think those were colossally dumb, and I've maintained that from the start.
But this one is
But at least they didn't affect the way the game was played.
You see, to me, that's like the least... important.
Everything else was a factor, though.
It absolutely is.
The getting
least.
To there.
But, I mean, no one complained that much about Detroit. And
no one complained about Minnesota.
Oh, I mean, I feel the same exact way about Minnesota and Detroit as I do about this.
You should. Because it's even worse, because I agree with Fred.
Additionally,
New York's kind of special. To have it in New York, theoretically, is kind of, wow, it's New York.
It should never, ever be in a cold weather city.
The big game in the Big Apple.
It should never be
as cold as it gets in New York. It doesn't get as cold as it does in Minneapolis.
Hey.
I agree.
Right.
You know?
And
again,
they got
had
by
the field
in Minnesota.
Covered, but...
They got by in Minnesota. And now, obviously, this was in the early 90s before we were covering the Patriots or anything. But they got by in Minnesota, I guess, because everything was indoors.
Right.
All the things that they had to go to the media never went outside.
Like Indy.
They went through the tunnels
mm-hmm.
and all the things that connect all the buildings, the convention centers and everything downtown. And I guess that's how they got by it.
Now, New York having trouble getting naming rights to their stadium.
Right.
And the argument was that if they got the Super Bowl, that would help convince a corporation.
Well, I'm listening now. If I'm a corporate and I know that my name's going to be in 4 years on the Super Bowl stadium.
Or are you just asking to buy it for the Super Bowl?
Well, that's the thing.
Miami did
their
little one-year window.
Yeah, but you don't let them do that.
But that's the thing. How it's the biggest media market in the world.
Right.
They have two teams that play there, not one but two.
Right.
How are you having trouble getting a corporation
to name it? Because I'm sure that they're asking
to name
an outlandish amount of money. And
well, still,
you know, so, but
they're
that's
probably
why.
Asking 5 years ago money in today's
that's
economy.
Why it's probably an outrageous amount of money. And, you know, but now,
so for an event that's not going to take place for another
but now whatever
4 years,
whatever they were asking 2 weeks ago, okay, maybe makes a little bit more sense now, because you know that there's going to be a Super Bowl played in that stadium.
I give you another
I don't know.
Another good one I heard.
You could be the stadium named in the riots and chaos of the worst Super Bowl ever.
Right. Yeah.
from our old buddy Felger yesterday, who, you know, obviously, you know, he's one of those, you know, this
douchebag, fact, not
this
opinion.
Is the way football was meant to be played kind of thing, you know.
Right.
That whole rant. And he goes, but just look at it. They're the most memorable games. Just look at the ratings. Look at the snow games. Look at the ratings.
Right.
Really? Really? We're using the television ratings to determine that people love snow games, or the fact that when
the
a blizzard
did it for the draft on
or
Thursday
or the
night.
Fact that when a blizzard hits,
nobody can go outside.
You can't go out,
right?
You think that comes into a ratings?
And then the other thing I heard was, well, they have to
make
do,
a baby or wash the team.
You know, they have to do this
or
because
both.
I mean, how you could be so ridiculously narrow-minded and short-sighted as to say the ratings for a snow game are higher than an average game?
Right. But that's what he does for everything.
Well,
he compares ratings of everything every day.
It wasn't Felger, but I heard somebody else say that. Well, it's New York, so they know that if they have a game in New York, the television ratings will go up. What?
I don't think there's any question about it.
Are you trying to tell me that if it wasn't in New York, you weren't watching? You know,
that makes no
that
sense.
That makes no sense either.
Yeah, the I mean, ratings
you could
would
actually
be
argue they could go down because there's 80,000 people that could maybe not be in their house to watch the game.
Or have a power outage.
Right.
They'll
flush the toilet.
To me, the ratings for the Super Bowl, I know that, you know, obviously some are higher than others, but there's a level that they've achieved, and that's what it's going to be every year. Whatever the amount of million, you know, the Super Bowl is going to get a rating every year, regardless of where it's played, regardless of the matchup. It can fluctuate a little bit here and there, and some are a little bit higher than others, but I'll bet you the gap in the last 15 Super Bowls between the highest and the lowest rated is minimal.
Well, let me ask you this question. Minimal. Let me ask you this question, because when we went to London last year, the subject came up. Which would you rather have?
London.
A Super Bowl in London or a Super Bowl in New York?
London.
New York. I would have.
I would be wholeheartedly against either, but if you
right, I know
me
you
the
would
question,
be, but I'm.
Yeah. No,
if you had that choice.
If my choice is New York, I would rather keep it here.
And why London for you? Because of the whole. Because of the weather?
The weather in the stadium.
Is the weather going to be good in London?
Is the weather
well,
in February?
It doesn't snow as much there.
I don't know. What's
here,
the weather like in London in February?
They get,
I don't know.
They get snow, but it's probably not as much as
it's an
as
island.
We get.
They get more of a temperate.
It's mild.
It's milder. It's milder. It is. All right. Well, that's going to do it for
but
this edition of PFW Progress.
Shorter and shorter.
Minutes.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Like Fred, the shows are getting shorter by the week.
My clock says 2 o'clock. I got to get going. We'll see you next Tuesday.
PFW in Progress, putting out the magazine or an all-nighter after the game, these guys aren't afraid of the grindstone.
Working hard, and we're working hard, working evenings, ordering in, working Saturdays.
Patriots.com Radio.